Last year we began a series of shiurim, which we called the Shiloh of the Week. We try to focus on some strange, bizarre shiloh that came my way during the course of that week, or the course of the week before, the month before, the year before. We try to keep as close to a current event as possible. So we're going to continue along those lines with this year as well. And I guess it's only appropriate to start with one of the most recent shiloh that we had. It was actually a shiloh that took place in my shul. I was very much involved in the shiloh as it was happening. Most of the shilohs end up coming here if they already happened. But this particular one, I was very much involved in, I guess, on the ground, as they say, in terms of this particular shiloh. So, you know, those people who know my shul, it's a fairly, not so exciting shul. We try to daven, try to learn, you know, not that much physical action going on in the shul. All of a sudden, on Simchas Torah, during the Milach Hadas, Shas and Shacharis, so I made a start right out of the shul. I ran out from the front of the shul, ran all the way to the back. I probably, the Baal Batim had no idea what had just happened. And then I run back to the back of the shul and start waving my hands to catch the Gabbai's attention, to stop, to put everything on hold. I had 150 people that nobody knew what was flying. So I give you a background exactly what happened. That had exactly to do with the shiloh that we're about to discuss. The shiloh was, what is the status of a Kohen who happens to be an Ovel, and he was instructed to wash his hands for duchening? What is he supposed to do at that point? So if I'm wondering what, where, who, how many different factors go into the shiloh, and what does that have to do with the rabbi doing acrobatics on Simchas Torah? We'll give a little bit of a background to the shiloh. And we'll talk a little bit about the pratim as they go on to try to get the flavor of the entire shiloh. There is a minhag in many communities that an Ovel for the entire year of Avelos doesn't go up to recite Birchas Kohanim. So it's a questionable minhag in the first place, but it is a minhag that exists in many communities. I don't know what the minhag is. Is that the minhag in Bnei Asher? And also, I don't know, is that the minhag here? Anyone aware of? As far as you know, yes. And our Torah, that's a kind of unofficial minhag as well. There are more called such a custom. Again, we'll talk about the pros and cons of the minhag as we go on, but that is a minhag in many places, including in Ashul. So most of the time when you have a person who doesn't go up to duchen, so he's supposed to be out of sight, out of mind, before the actual duchening process starts. The reason being is because once he's called upon to duchen, that becomes very, very problematic for him to refuse to go up in duchen. Once he's officially designated to go on duchen, so then, unless there's some very, very serious halachic compelling reason for not to duchen, he would become required by the halacha to duchen, even if otherwise he wouldn't necessarily be doing so. So most of the time, when you have Avelim, let's say, for example, we had Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in the first day, Sukkot, the Shemini Atzeres, so we're minigin most of our shuls, including our shuls, that we only duchen in Mosuf. So usually what happens is all the Kohanim know they're supposed to duchen, so as soon as you finish Kedushas, the Kohanim start to shpatsir to the back, Levim start to shpatsir, and the Avelim, we're not going to duchen, so generally find their ways out of sight, out of mind, and they, you know, go out to the outside of the shul or something. That's the standard procedure of most shuls. However, on Simchas Torah, we know that for a totally different reason, there's a custom in many shuls, including our shul, to duchen dafket shacharis, not to duchen at Musaf. The reason for this minhag is an interesting one. It's supposed to point out that once a person drinks, so they're not supposed to be duchening. And there is the off chance that maybe somebody had a little bit too much to drink at Simchas Torah morning during the hakafah, so we're afraid they had a little bit too much of the kiddush. We want to make sure that they're not reached a point of being too intoxicated in order to permit them to duchen. Therefore, the minhag in many, many communities became to duchen dafka at shachris on Simchas Torah rather than at Musaf. Even though the particular reason probably doesn't apply in Or HaTorah and Ashul, because Ashul doesn't allow alcohol the entire year, but it's a low point. The minhag Yisrael is kacha in most of our communities that the duchening only takes place at shachris. The problem with duchening at shachris is that half the time the Kohanim don't remember. So very well, and the amount of time between then kedusha and duchening is much shorter. Obviously, it's shorter shmones, it's shorter chazos hashat, and the kohanim have to be all ready to roll by the time ritzei starts. So that's why very often in shuls and with Torah shachris, you'll hear all of a sudden the chazan vati, he'll be starting off his showing off his cantorial skills, basically just to stall for the kohanim to get in time to duchen by ritzei. So the last thing you want to have are those kohanim who are fast asleep, you know, at the wheel, and then they're going to start tearing out in the middle of a hasienu to try to go run and to wash the hands. So the Gabbai in Ashul, although he wasn't instructed to do this, out of his own common sense, so he gave a klop as soon as the chazan finished Kedusha, Kel HaKadosh, so he gave a klop that said, Kohanim and Levim, please go get ready for duchening. In the innocence of a Gabbai, like the Gabbai, this is Shia for the Gabbai. So in the innocence of a Gabbai, so he made that announcement. So when I heard that announcement, I got frantic. Why? Because I knew that we have two Kohanim in our shul who happen to be Avelim, And I know that they have not been duchening the whole Yom Narayim, and certainly they haven't been duchening. And I knew that they were standing there in shul when the Gabbai made that announcement. And we'll see as we go on what the ramifications of that statement are. That if a person is in shul when the Gabbai announces for them to duchen, that becomes a very, very serious issue in halacha, whether they're not allowed to not duchen at all, shalav a deraisa. So here was the source of the pickle. The pickle was I was still davening Shmoneh Esrei. I was still in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Now the shaila is, these Kohanim, who are now really mechuyif to duchen, they didn't understand and chafu this whole story. I knew they were just going to go outside and stand and wait in the coat room while everyone else duchen. Whereas according to the cheshbon that I was making as I was in Mil Shmoneh Esrei, was that this is the potential shal of a deraisa, because once they're told to duchen, they're mechuyif to go up and duchen no matter what. So I was almost over Shmoneh Esrei. I quickly finished Shmoneh Esrei. They were told as they were announced, and sure, we'll see in a minute what told to duchen is. So go, please go out. Right, we'll see in a moment whether that qualifies as being told to most probably, yeah. So I quickly finished Shmoneh Esrei, and I ran out to find all the Kohanim basically finishing washing already and going in, and these two Kohanim, the Avelim, were standing out in the coat room. So I asked them one question. I said, were you in shul when the Gabbai, were you still there? Because the Gabbai announced that the second expedition was over. So I said, did you hear the Gabbai announce, you know, go out and duchen? Were you in shul for that point? So they said, yes. So I said, quickly, go wash. There were no more levium to be found. I said, who needs levium? That's a minig. He's doyer, he can bolt out levium, wash the hands of the Kohanim. The Kohanim can wash his own hands. So I told him, quickly, zoom, and go wash your hands right now, and run into shul. As I turned back to go into shul, I hear those words that you don't want to hear at that point. And the din is that the Kohen has to be what's called Okeraglum before it says over, technically speaking. He has to make his move to the duchen, make his move into the position before Ritzeh is over. So I started waving from the back, hysterical, that the garbage, no one knew what was flying, but they stopped the chazer at that point, put up the hand, and I felt like I was a traffic cop, like directing the Kohanim to wash quickly and to move into place. And Kachav, so the Kohanim zoomed, Mamsh ran up to the front, they duchen, they show my soul, a little bit of a pun, but show my soul, they duchen. And the Kohanim afterwards thanked me so much because they felt so bad over the whole Yom Tov. Their whole Chodesh Tishrei went and they didn't have a chance to duchen. They Mamsh matar min haShemayim, they had a chance to duchen. And that was the back, that's the nice what happened. It was 10 minutes to tell what happened. Now we'll give the background to the shiur as to why things progressed the way they did and why I thought that was so critical that it was kedai to hold the shul up for a moment, kedai to drive everybody a little bit nuts, because I think there was a real, real question with their eyes that potentially could have been violated at that point. Let's start with the beginning of the shiur, beginning with the first of the Mamakamas. So the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchas Nesias Kedai, Mesimukum Chavchet, Sevdeis, so the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows, Kol Kohen She'ein Bo Echem Edvar Mamakvim, a Kohen who doesn't have something that's preventing him from duchen. Now, preventing one from duchening has to be a real, real, real din that's preventing him. There are certain psulim that really prevent the Kohen from duchening. Being an ovel is not one of those, because being an ovel is only a minute. It's a machlekes minhagim. There's this role, the practice actually is the avedim do duchen, so the entire year. So when the Shulchan Aruch speaks about echad dvarma ma'akvid, he's talking about some real makoy, some real, real actual psul. So if you have a Kohen who's not posel to duchen, in eina ol leduchen, if he doesn't go up to duchen, he decides not to respond and not to go up to say Birchas Kohanim, afa pisha bitel mitzvah sase achas, even though he is in clear violation of a mitzvah sase called a bitel mitzvah. Now, bitel mitzvah is a tricky term. Bitel mitzvah sometimes is used for a person who doesn't fulfill a mitzvah, and sometimes the term bitel mitzvah is used for someone who is, in a sense, more than just not actively fulfilling a mitzvah. He's a mevatlus mitzvah. Let's say, for example, if a person eats food outside of the sukkah, that's a mevatlus mitzvah. If a person chooses a machni hamotzi, not eating mezuzah, and eat apples and potato chips all day, that's not a mevatlus mitzvah. That's not a makayimus mitzvah, but it's not a mevatlus mitzvah. If a whole day goes by, a person doesn't put on tefillin, that's a mevatlus mitzvah. If a person misses mankriyash, that's a mevatlus mitzvah. So if a koyin doesn't duchen when he should, he's considered to be in violation of a bitl mitzvah min haTorah. Torah says, Amor lahem, kosvarch is b'nei Yisrael. That's a bitl mitzvah min haTorah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Gemara, Areize ke'ever v'gimel asei. It's worse than just a regular bitl mitzvah. It's a threefold bitl mitzvah. Why? Because there are three brachas. So it's almost like each one of the brachas that the Kohen gives, Rech Hashem Yishmech is one, Yar is two, Yisrael is three, each one of them is almost like a quasi mitzvah b'fnei atzma. They're not literally counted in the minyan mitzvahs as such, but you know, theoretically, it's almost like an outright bitla mitzvah. However, when does this bitla mitzvah kick in? In the following cases. Either if they're in shul when the announcement to duchen goes out, kohanim, they're told all the kohanim should start to give the bracha. So that's the mechayev. That's ultimately what kicks in the obligation to duchen. Or even if there wasn't a formal call kohanim, but they were told to go up in duchen. The Gemara derives from Sukkim. It says amor lahem. Amor lahem means that only when the Yisraelim instruct the kohen to duchen, that's when the chiyuv mitzvah kicks in. So that amor lahem could either be fulfilled with the calling out of kohanim or with the amor lo la'alos, o litol yadav. And the Shulchan Aruch adds on from the Rishonim that what if they didn't formally say duchen, but they said go wash your hands, which is tantamount to saying go get ready to say birchas kohanim. That also constitutes a kriya. And if any one of those events took place, so the kohen who doesn't respond by immediately going up and duchening is mevat al mitzvahs essay mida araisa. So we have to take with the utmost seriousness when there's a call to duchen, you have to respond to that call. And unless you have some real super duper halachic reason not to respond to that call, you're talking about a bitul mitzvah and love of the araisa. Klop. Klop can be mashiv ruach meregeshen. I don't know if klop, I'm not sure if klop is in it. Klops. I don't know. You have to tell those gaborim to keep their mouth. I think Ari is nervous that the same thing happens. The other gabri, of course. Okay, right. It's always that other gabri's fault. So.
Something called something called to wash hands.
But that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Omru lo litol yadav. Because litol yadav is the introduction. Nobody else has washed their hands in the middle of Musaf. So litol yadav is tantamount to saying, go and do. Oh, so that's a shayla. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the machlokes. What about a guy in the middle of nowhere tells the kohen, oh, go and do it. Go wash your hands. So one could argue that, who are you to tell him? When the gabbai says it, when the rabbi says it, when the representative of the tzibur says it, that's the tzibur telling the person to. Just one mishugan that says, go and wash your hands. Mishnah's not even sure. Of course, there's shayla about that. But this was a case where the gabbai was, I can't say it was authorized exactly, but he's normally authorized. He's speaking on behalf of the tzibur. So, okay, so we're going to get to that exactly. So before we can go further in the shayla, we have to ask them, so why aren't they avelim duchening in the first place? Why aren't they avelim duchening? Where did that idea come from? So the Shulchan Aruch, if you take a look, it's in the same Marmachim number one, but it's Sif Mem Gimel. So it's the fourth line into the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Mem Gimel. Acha shivisi me'avelus nosei kapov. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that after the 7 days of Avelus are over, so then the Avel is supposed to duchen during the week of Avelus. So one could argue that since Birchas Kohanim was supposed to be in the state of Simcha, and an Avel during the week of Shiva is not really supposed to be in the state of Simcha, so for the Avel to duchen in the middle of the Shiva, that's not right. But after the 7 days of Shiva are over, the Shulchan Aruch says, because one day you should be duchening, no question about it. And even within the week of Shiva, so Shiva may Avelus, even within the week of Shiva, where even the Shulchan Aruch is conceding that the Avelim don't duchen, even though again, it's not in the Gemara. Gemara doesn't say an Avel doesn't duchen. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting this practice from the Rishonim that within the week of Shiva, the Avel doesn't duchen. The Sav Shiva Shiva Avelus, Yei Tibi Beis HaKnesses, B'Shah Shekori Kohanim. That the Avel should make sure to be out of the Shul at the time when it's being called Kohanim. Or it's going to get a little bit tricky if he's the one who's davening for the yomer, that's really a whole another complicated story. But the Shulchan Aruch is describing a scenario where the Avel is in shul, maybe it's on Shabbos, whatever the case may be, the Avel. How can the Avel daven for the yomer?
Yeah.
Who? There's not any Yom-tif. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Sfardim. The Sfardim are duchening every day. You see, you've been so convinced by the Ashkenazim. So here we're talking about a regular Tuesday. A guy's in the middle of Shiva, and let's say he's not daven for the yomer, someone else is daven for the yomer. So Shulchan Aruch says, you have to scoot out, because technically speaking, it's supposed to be duchening, because this whole practice of an awful not duchening is not a davar ma'akim mil duchen. It's not a real din. It's only a minig that the Rishonim had, that it's not appropriate for an awful to duchen because he's not in the state of simcha. But the Shulchan Aruch says you better make sure that you're out of sight, out of mind, before the critical moment in time comes, the kriyas ha'kohanim. Okay, so that's a further question. The Shulchan Aruch is describing it. Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Right. So okay. So that's a big question. So again, for us, it's hard to tell because we never duchen in the chutzlats. We never duchen. That's why the Rosh Chilukei Day is Chilukei Minhag about skipping Elokeinu Vaseinu. One of the reasons some folks who recommend to skip Elokeinu Vaseinu in the base oval is because of this. That the oval we wouldn't be duchening there. And others say it's not true. Others do say the Rosh Minhagim that do say Bichas Kohenim that do say Elokeinu Vaseinu in a base oval. So here it's interesting because the Shulchan Aruch is not even describing a base oval. He's describing a shul. He's describing the oval happens to be. There's no base oval. He's davening in shul, so Shulchan Aruch is telling the oval to scoot out before the time of Bichas Kohenim. But again, this is all Shulchan Aruch talking. Now comes the Ramah, which is the more prevalent Ashkenazi practice, Hagah. V'yesh omrim d'chol ban aveilus afilu ad yud beis chodesh al aviv yalimo edenosis kafos. He quotes the Mordechai with the Talmud from the Balei Tosfos, Ashkenazim, who had the practice that an oval for the duration of yud beis chodesh for a parent, the poskim add on, if it's for other relatives, then it's for shloshim, that an ovel would not duchen. The cheno again the bedinos elu. And the Ramo writes that in our communities, Ramo lived in Eastern Europe, in Poland, in Krakow. He writes in our communities, in Eastern European communities, we follow this practice that the ovel doesn't duchen for the duration of the entire year. Now, what is this idea based on? This notion that an ovel has to be in the state of simcha. So the truth is, this is not only limited to the avelus part of this equation, that's the part that is relevant for Ashir, but we find this theme throughout in Hilchos Bichas Kohanim that when people are not in the absolute state of Simcha, we're very, very weary to permit them to duchen. So it's based on this that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss a whole series of other potential scenarios which are almost tangential for our discussion, but we'll see as we go on, it's going to become relevant for us in a moment. So Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah begin to discuss other potential situations where the Kohen is not really up to par in terms of Simcha, and different minhagim develop in different places in the world as to whether we would encourage them to duchen or discourage them from duchening. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the following in Sif Mem Dalet, Kohen alfa bishu ponui noisias kapos. A Kohen, even though he's not married, he still can duchen. Why would you think he shouldn't duchen? Because the Gemara says that if the Kohen's not married, a person's not married, it's a shor b'loi simcha. He doesn't have joy. So maybe one could argue the same way that the Ovel doesn't duchen because he's lacking in simcha, the Ponui shouldn't duchen either because he's also lacking in simcha. The Shulchan Aruch is coming to say that's not true. Shulchan Aruch says don't make that equation. No gezeirah shava Ovel to Ponui. The Ovel is mamish b'tzar. The Ponui is not as happy as he could be, but afa b'chein, the Ponui is permitted to duchen. Hagah, v'yesh omrim, there are those who say, de'eino no se kapov. The Ramah's quoting that in some Ashkenazi communities, at least the minute used to be in some communities, that the person who's not married does not duchen. Why is that? According to the Ramah's, Tashar b'lo isha, Tashar b'lo simcha. V'avarech yesh liyos b'simcha. Once again, from the Mordechai. So it's the same Mordechai. The same Rishonim who are saying that the Ovel doesn't duchen are the same ones who say that the person who's single doesn't duchen either. But the Ramah writes that the Nagu should not say Kapov, but our minig is not that way. That's what we've never seen this minig in our world. The teenage boys all duchen. That we do permit the person who is single to duchen. Afa pishen on nasoi. When we come makom, says the Ramah, Harotish lo lisa kapov imochem biyadoi. Let's say a person says, I'm from the Mordechai family, I follow the minig, I'm not married, I don't want to duchen. So the Ramah says, we're not going to force him to duchen. The only thing is, we say to Rach, Shaloye, Bevesa Knesset, Beshashe, Koran, Kohanim, Aom Lem, Lito, Yodehem. Back to square one. Namely, the Ramah once again points out, and he says that this fellow who says, I don't want to duchen, because my minig is that we don't duchen in our family until we get married. So the Ramah says, we're not going to bother, we're not going to chep you to duchen, but just make sure you're not in shul when they say Kohanim. But don't be in shul when they tell you to wash your hands. Why? Because once you're in shul for that moment of truth of Kriya, or for the moment of the Tilos Yadayim, of saying Tilos Yadayim, then it's not a negotiation anymore. Then we're not talking about customs. Then we're talking about a real bona fide din. Once there's a chi of gomim in a Torah to duchen, all these minhagim fall by the wayside. Then you follow what the ikra din is, and the ikra din is that you have to duchen whether you're happy, not happy, or avelos, not avelos, whether you're married, not married. None of that stuff matters. So here we see the same theme repeating itself over and over again. We have chilukei deis. We have different opinions in the Rishonim, different minhagim, and different communities in Klal Yisrael as to where do you draw the line? What are the barometers for happiness in terms of Bichas Kohanim? Everyone agrees the Kohen should be the simcha. So some are saying avelos the whole year is not enough simcha. Some are saying just shiva is not enough. Some are saying the single people can. Some are saying the single people can. There are different nuances and different minhagim as to how do you measure precisely the degree of simcha. But the common denominator between the, within this entire sugya is that all these minhagim only apply if there was no, if you weren't there at the wrong time at the wrong place. If you were in shul when they said kriyas hakohanim, or you were in shul when they said litul az yadav, so that trumps everything. Because then that becomes the chi of gomer. That's what the Shulchan Aruch started out by saying, that's a real, real serious problem. Then the Ramah adds on a third custom that we're familiar with, that we mentioned before. Ramah writes, again, in the same Ramah in Sif Mem Dalet, so it's four lines into the Ramah. Ramah writes a couple of lines, words into the line, Nagu b'chol medinas elu, in all of our communities, namely all the Eastern European communities, she'ein nosim kabayim ela b'yomtif, that we don't duchen during the week, we don't even duchen on Shabbos, we only duchen on yomtif. Why is that? Mishum she'az shiruyim b'simchas yomtif, because on yomtif is the only time that we're happy. I'm all lived in tough times. The 1500s in Poland was not the cheeriest time. And people were in a tough life. Ramos says, people are not so happy. It's hard for them to get to the state of Simcha. So the minute it became the Ashkenazi community, it's not the Duchen. But in order to Duchen, you have to be in a good mood. He says that on Shabbos, we can't even get ourselves Nebuch into the state of being in the Simcha. So the minute is in our Ashkenazi communities, we don't even Duchen on Shabbos. We hope not. The Rav Moshe saying we hope and pray that at least for Yantiv you can pull yourself together. Filu v'yantiv. Then the Rav Moshe goes to the front and he says, "Einos gabay olot filus musaf." We don't even duchen in shachris. The din and the mishnas of the famous when you duchen in shachris and musaf. Like in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows the duchen in shachris and musaf. The svarim duchen in shachris and musaf. So my high, if you're already telling me that we're in a cheery mood on Yantiv and that's why we're risking the duchening on Yantiv. We should have any duchen and shachas also. What, all of a sudden we became happy in Musaf time. Shachas was still miserable. So the Ramah writes, yeah, you know why we're happy in Musaf time? Because Davin comes over. Shiyotzim azri beis hakneses v'yismuchu b'simchus yontif. That's what the Ramah just said. He says, because you can already, you can smell that meat. You can smell the special yontif duchen. Shachas, you still got to sit to the rabbi's drush. You got to schlep sich to a hallel. The rabbi chazan's going to sing for an hour. Yeah. Everyone's kvetchy. The lane is going to be long. Too many mishaberach. But most of you see the light at the end of the tunnel, the Ramah says, yes, everyone's in a good mood. I didn't say it, the Ramah just said it. He quotes himself, Dibri Atman. He was rubbing down the Ramah. He knew this quote. Oh, very good. So many posts can say that then he talk a shidduchin. Otherwise, everyone's going to get lost without there's a shal about that. Some say even if there is one other Kohen, but there's not two other Kohanim, maybe, because it could be that Birchas Kohanim, the rice is only when there are two Kohanim, because the Mola have, maybe. So the Ramah continues. He says, the Chol Shachris of Musaf She'ein Nosim Bokepayim, Omer Shlech Tziba L'Kenel K'Avaseinu. That whole Kenel K'Avaseinu has become such a main part of our tefillah, it's only a main part of our tefillah because Nebuch we're not Duchening. V'yom Kippurim Nosim Bokepayim Kol B'Yantif. Says the Ramah, Yom Kippur people are happy enough. Yom Kippur people are forgetting about their problems, so we could duchen on Yom Kippur. V'yesh bekayimish enosim b'kapayim b'ne'ila. There are some places that have the custom to duchen even by ne'ila of Yom Kippur. That's the Ikar Adin. In places where you duchen, you're really supposed to duchen by ne'ila also. And our custom is not. Most of our communities don't duchen by ne'ila. One of the big reasons why we don't duchen by ne'ila is because we tend to get to the part of duchening way after Shkia, and the Rishalmi says you're not supposed to duchen at night. It's a big pella because there are some communities that do duchen and ila, particularly the Broyes community. I remember this. Shachar is also correct. So they duchen and ila, even though it's way after Shkia. So it's based on the Maril. The Maril apparently didn't pass like that. Misham and the Babi doesn't quote it. So the custom in the Broyes community is that they still have the Yomazet. They still duchen way after Shkia in Eretz Yisrael. What many places in Eretz Yisrael do, when I was at Taman and Kevi Avner, what they did was, that on the one hand, they wanted to duchen by the Eila, because that's the real, the Ikra Din. On the other hand, they were never going to duchen after Shkia, against the Farish Rishami. So what they did was, they would make sure to finish the Eila to get to the point of duchening before Shkia. The only problem is, it's a logistical problem. What are you going to do now? The time isn't over for another 40 minutes. What are you going to do? So anyone who's ever been in Kambi Avnif and Eila knows, this is what Avinu Malkeinu sounds like. Each Avinu Malkeinu said, for a total of 40 minutes, to get to the point of, so you have to think of something to stall. There is a story, it's a legend, so you can check with some of your sources. I asked one of the the senior members of the Bruce community, they said they weren't aware of this story, but I heard supposedly, there was a legend or a story, or I'm not sure what happened exactly, that when Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch first came to Frankfurt, so he wanted to change the minhag of duchening and meilah because it's against Yerushalmi. They told him he can't change it. The Mavril already sanctioned it. They've been doing it for hundreds of years. They told him he can't change it, so he came up with a great idea. He said, we're going to stall. But he didn't think of saying Avinu Malkeinu 100 times. So he said, I'll give my ne'ilah drasha after ne'ilah is over, before to stall between the end of Chazal Shat and the blowing of the shofar. The way the legend slash story goes is that it happened 1 year, and they told me it was a flop. How can you give a ne'ilah drasha after ne'ilah is over? He said, the whole point of ne'ilah drasha is to get you into the spirit to do what? To go home and build a sukkah? No. So it didn't, again, I told it to one of the senior members of the community. They told me the story of the Hoyot Rabbi. I don't know. I was not in Frankfurt in the 1890s. I can't tell you. But they do that all the time. Yeah. It's a gzeir after ne'ilah, so no one should realize that's being devil. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, I remember when I was the Rabbi Parama, so they used to duchen way, way, way after ne'ilah. Way after Shkiyah. There used to be one Kohen who some of the Kohanim didn't want to make a bracha. They didn't want to not go up to Duchin, so some of the Kohanim wouldn't make a bracha. So there was one Kohen there, an older Kohen, so he would be mocking everybody in the bracha. He would say the bracha, and everyone else would just get up and put their hands up and whatever they did. It's a strange setup. Came a problem because that older Kohen passed away. So I don't know what happened if I left. I'm not the rubber anymore. Now they probably do Duchin. Now they became a Svadishul. So now they probably do Duchin, but I'm the Duchin after Shkia. I check with the new management there. Anyway, getting back to the story. So this idea keeps on repeating itself. Nachmal, Nachmal, Nachmal. Every time you have a situation where it's only a minig, not the Duchin, you have to make sure to get out of there before the critical time. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the second of the Maamar Kamis, the Shavura in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, the Shavura writes on the din where the Shulchan Aruch said that you better make sure that the Ovel gets out of Shul. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about the person within the week of Avelus, so Shulchan Aruch conceded that you don't duchen, so Shulchan Aruch said get out of Shul in time. So the Shavura explains why the Shulchan Aruch insisted on that. The Medina Chayav Ovel Devar, because everybody knows that an Ovel is really Chayav. Shechay B'chom Etzamus B'Torah. The whole idea of an Ovel, whether it's the first week or the whole year, the whole idea of an oven aduchening, el shenom yishlul yisa kapayim, yishum tzitzorach hakayim yis besimcha v'tov lei b'shasa bracha, k'dechsev v'tov lei v'yivarech. V'lochein, so there's only a minute, it's not a din. Tzorach what says, k'desh leik ru la'alas aduchen, because if the kohen is going to be hanging around in shul and they're going to announce kohanim, that's going to be a big problem. V'afilu b'shabes v'yein shem kohen elahu lo ya'ale. That's a question. U'b'diyeved, im lo yotza. This is the point that's relevant for us. What if the Maisa the Kohen didn't leave Shul, which was in effect our case? The Kohen didn't leave Shul. The Karu Lalas the Duchin. Bein B'Shabbos and Bein B'Chol. Again, he's talking within the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is still Duchening during the week. Bein She'ein Sham Kohen Alehu, U'beinim Kohanim Acherim. Even if there are other Kohanim around, and then he's Mamash in a pickle. If he was there when they said Duchin, or as the Shulchan Aruch himself quoted, the equivalent of saying to Duchin is to say to wash your hands. It's all the same thing. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, very emphatically, tzorech lalos, then the kohen must duchen. Why? Because if he doesn't duchen at that point where he was ready asked to duchen, then he's in outright violation of the mitzvah zesei min haTorah, and that mitzvah zesei again overrides any of these concerns, any considerations, and everything. So the kohen would have to duchen. This is l'fianis daiti. This is textbook. This is exactly what happened. That the gabbai made the announcement. He told him to go wash, and so be it. L'fianis daiti, there would be another potential ramification of this saga that happened here, because remember, we almost lumped together three different cases, three minhagim that we have to limit or to eliminate duchening because of simcha. One was the issue of the oven, one was the chilukim minhagim about the person who's not married, and one was the ramaz meaning of not duchening on a regular weekday, a regular Shabbos, etc. They're all chisronas, all minhagim, all chisronas of simcha. What would it then be, let's say, on a regular day, that where there's an official kriya of kohanim, and that's never going to happen. Why would anybody, Meshuggah, get up and announce Kohanim? Everybody knows we're not going to duchen. So what would the din be? Lo yitzui, that for whatever reason there was an official formal kriyas Kohanim, would that now mechayev us to force the Kohanim to go and duchen on a regular Tuesday morning? So l'chorah, if you connect all the dots of this Mishnah Berurah and all this Ramot, the Shulchan Aruch, the answer would be yes. Because the whole not duchening on a regular Tuesday is also only a minute. It's part of the same saga, the same Ashkenazi minhagim. If the Sfaradim were happier, so they have the Duchen and the single people Duchen and they Duchen during the week. But all the times that we as Ashkenazim don't duchen, if there's a kriyas kohanim or an amiral in a tefillas yadayim, that's going to trump everything. So it's almost never going to happen. But never say never. It happened one time. Right, so the chorin means that the lashon of Shulchan Aruch is m'hoy beveis haKnesses. That means you have to be mitzuruf to that minyan b'pashas. You're right. That if I'm davening in one corner and they're screaming kohanim over there, that's not, that's no shaykh to me. Okay, maybe. Right, but that, it's a lumbish career. Right. That would probably qualify as a kriya only for the non kohanim. Right. So my sister Kachoya. When I was a bachar back in Riverdale, so my father told me the following story. He said I wasn't having the shul that day. It was Shabbos Chol Hamoed. So it was a fairly large shul, and the minhag used to be that after kedusha of musaf. The rabbi wanted to make sure that all the kohanim knew to remember the after duchen. So the minhag would be the rabbi would get up and he would make basically that announcement: kohanim and levim go out and rush in, get ready for bichas kohanim. So it was a 3-day yontif like this year. The rabbi made the announcement on the first day yontif. He made the announcement on the second day yontif, and then when the shulach tiva finished, the nusach, when he went into the yontif mode, so the rabbi was half asleep. So he got up and he turned around and he said, everybody get up, kohanim and levim, go and duchen Shabbos Chol Hamoed. So the place started to scream. He said, Rabbi, Shabbos Chol Hamoed, we don't duchen the Shabbos. I said, oops, so sorry. And the story ended there. So my father was telling me of the story. So I heard the story. I would think to myself, you know, if I was the rabbi in that shul, I would have told them to go and duchen. Because that was a kriya. Imamish made a kriya. I just want to tell a kriya, but toast maybe. I don't know. Make a pilpul maybe. Reminds me, he made a kriya kohanim. It's hard to make svar as a kriya b'tolsa. Shabbat deraisa. I would have told the duchen, as bizarre, as strange as it sounds, the duchen and Shabbos Chol Hamoed. The shul just became svarim. But I don't know. I'm much more worried about the bita lesei, about the Shabbat deraisa, about the kohanim, than the different minhagim of the Ramah. There's a famous story about the Gura. The Gura was opposed to this whole minhag of not duchening every day. The Gura was vehemently opposed to it, and he announced he's going to change the minhag in the shul in Vilna. They're going to duchen on Tuesday morning. And the way the story goes is that the shul burnt down that night. So the next morning, they came to the Gura and said, now what do we do? The Gura says, we're not going to duchen. So they said to the Gura, it's Lobo Shemayim, you know, a lot of Paskin Shailas based on Moistam and Nisim. So the Gura says, I'm not Paskin Shailas. I'm telling you, I'm still right, but I don't want all the other shuls in Vilna to burn down. So that's the way the legend story goes. Again, I wasn't in Vilna in 1700, I wasn't in Frankfurt in the 1800s. So I can't tell you what story didn't happen. But it is known that the Gro was opposed to the Minig, and it's known that the Gro wanted to change the Minig, and it's known that the Minig never changed. In Vilna, they're still not, to the best of my knowledge, still not duchening in Vilna. There is another nekuda of the sugya, which is almost an aside to this, namely, this issue that a Kohen doesn't duchen on Yom Tov has a whole nother potential halachic issue connected to it, and I too that I wasn't going to talk about this topic, this last Nakuda. That's good because I'm coming in 2-3 minutes. But I got a phone call today, this afternoon. Somebody calls me, and he says he's giving a shiur about something. He just wanted to bounce something off me. He says, how come the minhag is that a Kohen doesn't do it? Yes, started to open up. How come a Kohen doesn't do it on Yom Tov? Isn't that a veilushiv for Hesya? It's public avails. Everybody knows Mr. Cohen and Mr. Katz are walking out of shul. Everyone knows that they have the best voices. They're the ones who are always singing every other. And now they're quiet for the whole year. It's public avails. And public avails on Yom Tov is a no-no. So why isn't that a violation of public avails in Yom Tov? That was the question they posed to me. So I said to them, the reason why it's not a violation of public avails, because it's not avails altogether. Public avails means things that you're not allowed to do, things that an oval is not allowed to do. If you go ahead and express those things publicly, that smacks of public avails. Let's say, for example, during Shiva. So an avel is normally not allowed to wear shoes during the week of Shiva. So if on Shabbos, he walks into shoes, it was he walks into shul without his shoes on, that's a public demonstration of avails. He's doing something that an avel is mechuyif to do b'teres avails. That's called a public demonstration of avails. Here, there's no issue involved. This is nagu. The whole thing is a minig. It doesn't even appear in the Gemara. It's the chikis and rishon. What the minig was even. We're not even sure what the parameters of the minig were. It's not a din. Anything that's not a din of us avelos is not the not doing it or doing it doesn't constitute. It's not an avelos before hasya because it's not really an expression of avelos altogether. Proof positive. There's another minute that exists in Klal Yisrael by Oshanis and by Hakafas. It's all part of the saying of Pizmit. The Ovel doesn't do Oshanis. The Ovel doesn't do Hakafas. So Gevalt, everyone screams, Tech Avelos for Hesya. So the answer is, it's not Avelos for Hesya, because it's not also in the first place. So it's only Avelos for Hesya and something that's a real din of the Vilchus Avelos. That's part of the reason why also, what the minig in many of our communities is that an Ovel changes the seat even on Shabbos. Actually, the Rishonim had a big, big machlokes about this, whether an Ovel changes the seat on Shabbos or not. The Gemara speaks about changing your seat, when it's a din, when it's a minig, etc. So one of the reasons to defend the practice that an Ovel changes the seat even on Shabbos is because it's not Hilchos Avelos. It's based on a different din, another dimension of something. It's not an Isra Avelos proper. That's why the Ikra Din, it doesn't apply for the whole year, it doesn't even apply for the whole Shloshim Ikra Din. It's a unique type of halacha that's not rooted in Hilchos Avelos proper, and therefore, as long as it's not a real din of Hilchos Avelos, therefore that's not a violation of Avelos of Hesia. There are some who question that. There are some who have a practice that the Avelim don't change their seat because they're all worried with Avelos of Hesia. So there's a shaila about the Shlomo Eger writes that he never had a chance to ask his father. He was the son of Rabbi Kiva Eger. He never had a chance to ask his father about. Tolkien discussed the rabbi in shul. The rabbi once thought as an Ovel, should he change his seat on Shabbos? So some say, that's the Eim L'chop HaHesh Yagol HaMizeh. The rabbi normally sits in the front, and then you move him to another row, that's Marshall. If it's a regular Bala boss who moves, nobody knows. If someone thinks that somebody took a seat, they don't realize he's sitting in a row behind, nobody chaps. If the rabbi moves the seat, it's Eim L'chop HaHesh Yagol HaMizeh. On the other hand, maybe you can argue this is not a Velus proper, and therefore it's not a problem of HaHesh. So the post can back and forth and back and forth, they're not sure what to do. So Shlomo Eger writes in his notes in Shulchan Aruch that when he became an Ovel, for his father, for Rabbi he had Chalish Tadas, he had never asked his father what the practice should be. And he writes that he didn't go to shul, not for the whole year. The din of changing his seat in the Ikra din is only the first 2 weeks of Avelos. It's not a strange din, that's a Gemara Mori Kotlin. After 2 weeks, then it's only a minute. Where that second week comes from is a whole other story, not for now. So Shlomo Eger writes that for the first 2 weeks of Avelos, so he didn't go to shul. He said because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know, should he sit in his seat, not sit in his seat. If he sits in his seat, maybe that's a violation of the din. If he doesn't sit in his seat, it's a violation of the Hesha. You know what to do. So he told everybody he had a bit kohen. I know what he told him. He told the Balbab he can't come to shul that week because couldn't be machriya what to do. Strange, a very, very strange story. On Shabbos. He didn't go to shul on Shabbos. For 2 weeks because he couldn't be machriya whether he should sit in his seat or sit somewhere else. So he didn't want to take a chance of violating the halacha either way. I don't know whether he collected a minion in his house and just decided, yeah, I wasn't. I'll say the first thing. I wasn't in Reb Shlomo Eger's town in the 1800s either. I was born in the 1960s. I wasn't born. I didn't live in Europe in the 1800s. I'm not sure it was flying, neither in Frankfurt nor in. Reb Eger was the Rav in Posen, I think. Or in Posen, or in here, or in here, or in Vilna. So, whatever the different legends and stories are, I can't tell you about. But the bottom line is that it is a fascinating issue that touches on a lot of different nuances. And again, the underlying theme that you have to always differentiate. Whether you're mamish mechuyev the duchen or whether you haven't yet had a kriya. Kozman, you haven't had a kriya and not mechuyev, then all these minhagim can be worked out. But when there's a kriya and there's a deraisa here, so then everything else falls by the wayside. You got to go run out in the middle of the shas, grab the kohan and make sure they wash the ends and chapa right in time in order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa of the chazkan.
Yes, says
you should close the Godlike series.
Great, I love it. That's impressive.
This weekend.